You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
Last week, New Zealand First's Shane Jones unveiled the government's draft Mineral Act, supported by the ACT Party's Simon Court. The proposal would mean an increase in mining, including in areas of conservation land, as well as the government projecting 2,000 new jobs for miners and increasing mining revenue by $1 billion by 2035. For our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party, I talked to Simon Court about this proposal and some of the concerns that have arisen following its announcement. I also talked to him about some comments he made on X about a pro-Palestinian encampment at the University of Canterbury. Last week, a draft mineral sector strategy was released, basically resulting in some proposed increased mining. So some of this mining is going to take place on conservation land. Shane Jones has said not all conservation land is equal. So how are certain areas going to be chosen over others?
That's a really good question. I'm really proud that ACT was able to get into our coalition agreement with National, the direction to update the Crown Minerals Act to clarify its role as actually promoting the use of Crown minerals, because the Crown owns all the minerals under New Zealand, including oil and gas and gold and so on. And we also asked for the coalition agreement to include another requirement to explore the potential for a critical minerals list, because these are the minerals used in cell phones and satellites, our modern cars, and all kinds of technology. They're in high demand, but they're largely found or exploited at the moment in places like Central Africa and China, where their environmental and health and safety rules and worker protection rules are much lower than New Zealand. So by having a critical minerals list within a critical within a mineral strategy, it indicates to the government and to decision makers why it's important that we give access to businesses who want to explore for and then recover those resources, because they are critical, and it's really important that New Zealand has access to them, and so we can also provide them to our partners in business and in our security arrangements.
But if I can bring you back to the question there, how are you going to choose those pieces of conservation land?
That's a really good question. So the conservation estate has what's called Schedule 4 land, which identifies national parks and other areas that are absolutely pristine. There will be no mining in national parks. And I think what Minister Jones was trying to make clear, and I was with him in Blackball on the West Coast when he spoke to the miners, what he was making clear and what I would also reinforce is that the Department of Conservation controls about 25% of New Zealand's land area, essentially as a land manager, in the same way as Land Corp controls a very large amount of farming land in New Zealand. They are New Zealand government entities that control this land or hold it in trust for New Zealanders. One of the problems that DOC has is, since they were given that land to hold in trust, they were supposed to categorise it by high-value conservation land or low-value conservation land that could be potentially used for other purposes or given to councils or even sold. They never did that since 1987. But what's important to know is that some of that land is going to be available. It already is. There's hundreds and hundreds of concessions for tourism, for mining, for forestry. Iwi have forestry cutting rights on DOC land already, on DOC administered stewardship land already. What's important to know is that none of the places that we consider special, like national parks or that are listed in Schedule 4, will be available for mining. These are areas that will be considered are already available to be considered. We'll just be doing it in a lot more efficient manner.
Okay, you've said this move is going to, in turn, ease the cost of living crisis. Do you not think there are more immediate on-the-ground fixes to the cost of living crisis than implementing a huge new mining strategy?
What the minerals strategy and the critical minerals list will do is identify where it is a priority for government to support the mining or resources sector to actually permit the exploration, and then access, and then the development of these facilities. I was at Federation Mine on the West Coast last week, with the government's support through essentially saying, look, we're happy for you to do it. When they started that project about 5 years ago, what it meant was that the MBIE, Ministry for Business, Employment and Immigration, and DOC were both put on notice that they must respond quickly to this applicant. I went 900 metres underground. I saw the gold seam. They employ around 200 people. They're going to be there for at least 15 years. And when they leave, they're going to leave a site that is cleaned up and restored to a much higher standard than when they found it.
So, I don't want to cut you off here, but how is this going to ease the cost of living crisis?
Well, Federation Mining employs 200 people and produces millions and millions of dollars worth of product every year that is sold overseas, New Zealand gold exported overseas. We get paid by people from other countries, and that money then comes back to New Zealand to pay salaries, to pay wages, and also the tax and the royalties from that contribute to the economy. There are lots of opportunities like this ready to go. All we need is for the government, and this is what, you know, this is what ACT and National and New Zealand First have said, is that we want the government to be focused on unlocking these opportunities as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Because they do make money for New Zealand.
Okay, we're just going to move on from that one. Just one more question on this. The world is moving away from using fossil fuels, especially with our net zero goal by 2050. So why are you proposing 2,000 new jobs in an industry that's on a global decline?
It's just not correct. The amount of energy that is being sought, that is being explored, brought into production, whether it's fossil fuels, as you call them, you know, oil and gas, or minerals, which are not just fuel, but in the case of New Zealand coal, New Zealand coal exported from the West Coast is used to make plastics, it's used to make carbon fibre. They turn that coal into very pure carbon in places like Japan and South Korea. It's used to make steel. It's absolutely vital that we have access to these resources, minerals as well as oil and gas. If we don't have access to our own resources, we will simply end up paying a lot more for them and for other countries to produce them for us. There's no sense at all that these resources are going to become redundant in our lifetimes. That's completely unrealistic.
Last week, you made some comments on X surrounding the Palestinian Solidarity encampment at the University of Canterbury. Since you made those comments, the Student Association has released a statement of support for the protesters. The university itself has also agreed to meet some of their demands. So why don't you support their right to peacefully protest?
Well, I was making the point that those protesters at University of Canterbury were behaving disrespectfully to other students who depend on a quiet and safe space to study and learn. I was also making the point that through their behaviours and producing and displaying signs accusing Israel and Israel supporters of genocide, they're effectively othering Israelis and Jews and people in New Zealand, including people like myself, who actually support Israel's right to exist and right to defend itself. By accusing people willy-nilly of genocide, this has the effect of lowering that psychological threshold where people wouldn't normally be prepared to threaten others. Now, what we've seen, all of these accusations of genocide being bandied around, you know, by what I can only assume are ignorant and misinformed people, like those protesting at the University of Canterbury who are holding those signs, that's actually lowering the threshold which allows for physical and verbal attacks against people, including in New Zealand. There's been a 500% increase in physical and verbal harassment of people in the Jewish community and Israelis living in New Zealand. There's been attacks on children in school by classmates.
But the protesters, Simon.
Well, no, Evie, I've got to make this point, who are accusing their classmates of being complicit in genocide because of their Jewish heritage. That's completely unacceptable. My point was that group are a bunch of cosplaying Uji jihadis who should take their
Simon,
down,
we're going to move on from that
else.
One. I'm sorry. But one of their demands was that the university was to be more transparent about its investments. Do you think this is something that universities need to be more transparent about in general?
Well, I think the university has its first duty is to provide a safe space for all students to study and learn. That should be their priority. Whether a university chooses to invest in something, it provides for its future economic security, it really should be irrelevant to the students who are learning there. They should be there to get qualified, make good connections with people that will be long-lasting in their work and personal lives, and then get out into the workforce and start being productive. Carrying around signs accusing other people in our community of being complicit in genocide, or an entire nation of people who are literally under rocket attack right now from Hamas and Gaza.
We're just talking about investments here, though.
Yeah, but we need to come back to what they are trying to do. They are trying to encourage a university to boycott or divest from.
They're showing their solidarity to Palestinian people. That's what they're protesting for.
They're showing it in a very ugly and misinformed way.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Corr on mining and the University of Canterbury pro-Palestinian encampment.
That was Simon Corr from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.